Hallelujah. Have your seat now. As we round off this convention, I leave you with basic instructions. We'll just go over some things we have learnt since Monday evening. Again, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we saw that the life of the disciple will reflect the life of its teacher. Disciple reflects the life of his teacher. He follows, he learns. And you could see that in the life of the apostles, that they obviously learned from Jesus. They observed him, they watched him, they listened to him. And so upon the resurrection, you could see everything he said to them now reflected in the things that they taught and they practice, which means that discipleship is not a quick fix. It's not something that happens because you came for a meeting. It's not even because you listen to teachings alone. It's because you actually adopt a pattern of living. That's why in Acts 4:13, you know, seeing that these people were ignorant men, unlearned men, they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. They saw the fact that they are so bold, even though they are unlearned, but they said these people had been with Jesus. And so that's the way it rubs off. You always, in discipleship, your life, you impact your, not just a doctrine, but also your life, manner of life. Like Paul said to Timothy, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then verse 8, it said, being affectionately desirous of you, we're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, but our own selves, because you were there unto us. Not just teaching, but our own selves. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. And so there's an impactation. So you must see your life as being poured into somebody else's life. You are pouring your life. You are pouring your days. You are pouring your moments. It's a long distance thing. Discipleship is actually spiritual parenting, where you take somebody from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:15, the breath force, spiritually speaking. And you mentor, monitor the person to the point where he also disciples others. The man said that evangelism is not complete until the evangelized himself becomes an evangelist. So you see a long-term thing, something that is your life, your decisions, your purpose. I want to ask you a question. Can you, like Paul, say, follow my manner of life, follow my purpose, follow the way I do things, follow my patience? If you can't say that, then you are yet to disciple anybody. Follow me. Follow how I handle things. Follow how I take decisions. You know, those are important elements of the work. And in the parable that we looked at, the Matthew 25 parable and Luke 19, let's just again draw lessons. It means that just like businessmen will value money, you must value much more lives. The most precious things in life are not material. That is even basic. The life of a man does not consist in the things that he possesses. Luke 12:15. And then you come to the point that is life not more than meat and raiment. That's with Matthew 6:28 to 29. There about you can view that. And so, what is so precious to God are lives. These are precious. I say it oftentimes to those in leadership every time. Be careful. These are precious souls. These are precious lives. Don't get to preach without preparing. Don't preach without praying. Don't preach without being sensitive to God's leading. You know, all that means that you actually value what God values. You value what God values. And I mentioned something as well. Relationships that you will also keep will be relationships that value what God values. That's why Paul did not ask you to pray for a money-minded Christian. He says you stay away. 1 Timothy 6:5 and 6. You stay away. When you see a licentious believer who can be rebellious to authority, rebellious, he lives anyhow, doesn't care about his conduct, Paul says you cast out that wicked attitude. Don't eat with such a person. 1 Corinthians 5. When you see somebody who doesn't carry out instructions, 2 Timothy 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, from about verse 8 and thereabout to verse 11 and 12, he gives instruction that such a person, you withdraw from him. This is not to condemn. It's because if you do not stop it, if you don't do that, you will do exactly what you saw as wrong. If with time, you identify with it by relationship. So you check the relationships that you keep. Ensure they value what you value. Value well. Relationships that will value what God values. Let's see the importance of relationships. No wonder Solomon will write in Proverbs 13 verse 20. He says, the wise walketh with the wise, but the companion of fools perish together. If you look at the life of himself and his dad, the father was a man who was found in the courts of the Lord. He had numerous utterances, almost the most quoted utterances about Christ in the Old Testament. The Psalms were focused on the person of Jesus. And why was it so? It means that he exalted Christ above his experiences. Yet in the contrast, you find his son, Solomon, who by association with the world, because he was now very wise, very smart, very intelligent, and the dad obviously had left much for him. In fact, the dad prepaid for the temple he built. There was already fame, fortune, exploits, land had been covered, and so on and so forth. Nations had been reached in the sense of had been conquered for him. And so as soon as he got to the throne, he began to invite, people started coming in. They came in from different parts of the world to behold the wisdom that he had. So with time, he now became the center of attraction. And after that, of course, they now started exchanging for the wisdom he gave them, money, material things, and even women. He looked innocent at the first instance, until the women now introduced him to idolatry. Imagine a man of God, a purported prophet of God, now began to bow before idols. Before idols. So he did not check his desires. He did not check his emotions. He didn't check his own wants. And so you see that contrast. Relationships, money, and pleasure. Yet you had his own dad, who even when he fell into error, was still able to exalt Christ in his focus of prophecy. So, all of we have to watch these things. These things happened unto them as examples unto us to whom the ends of the world will come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. So we must put all those things in perspective. In perspective. So you don't go like this, up, then you come down, bam. Because you did not watch those very simple things that you should have watched. Now, add a few things. You know, I discovered that sometimes what many of us get our minds into could constitute our greatest challenges. I call it the ability to focus and avoid distractions. to focus. I know we are in an age where there's a lot of distraction. You know, in those days, where I grew up, in a time when TV stations opened at 4 p.m. And how many did we have then? If you lived in Lagos, you had LTV 8, NTA 10, NTA 5, the NTA 7. Here at the Uju Elekutaju Osho, that means 4. Then you now, you had access, somehow you'll be getting OGTV, you know, getting OGTV. Then, if you are lucky to buy some antennas like that, you'll be seeing BCOS. In fact, you will be prouding to your friends. We get BCOS in my house. They open at 4, by 12, you just be hearing bam 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 bam. Arise. In fact, by 3:35, 3:40, you will see red, green. That's how I grew. And so you had Jaguar. Remember what Jaguar? You want Jaguar, Cockro at dawn. Then after a while, you had a Mirror in the Sun. I think Mirror in the Sun was Sundays. After a while, it came Behind the Clouds. You watch all those things. You had the Tales by Moonlight. Really was Tales by Moonlight. You also have, you know, very, not much options. You had, let me remember this, New Masquerade, Village Headmaster. You know, and so on and so forth like that. But then now, just a phone. You switch on your phone, you have access to information that can keep you glued for 1 year. So there's a whole lot demanding your attention. And let me tell you something. If you think about it very well, if you observe, majority of these things that you see, they're not useful for you. How much can your mind take per time? That you are getting your mind engaged with so much. So, control the things that come to you. Control it. You know, when we were younger, we would say that remote control can help you have self-control. That illustration is outdated. Because your phone, just Facebook, Twitter, or the latest one, Instagram, which will make people run mad. Pictures, cars, all sorts. Pictures. People can almost take selfie in hell now. Just pictures. And churches even caught the bug. Prayer meeting, pictures. People are coming to church, pictures. They are living, pictures. Toilet, pictures. Everything is now pictures, making impressions. So you see a guy who just started the fellowship, and his thing is just growing, people are getting blessed, but then he sees somebody's pictures, they just show heads. The children of Israel. And the guy says, he looks at his own people. This must not be the will of God. Impressions. So, now, you have so much that come at you at the time. And if you tell people you don't really go on it, so you are not exposed, you are in bondage. Yet, day and age demands we put control on things that want to control us. Let this world be 1,000 years more. What God values will never change. And what God does not value will also not change. Time never changes God. Time doesn't change His word. People's desires has no single effect on God's word. people's insatiable appetite for anything has no single effect on God's word. Oh, now this is what people love. Now this is what people do. It has no single impact on God's word. I remember what a friend of mine said, Reverend Sandra. She said years ago, she said, you know, I was just, something she just said it in a discussion and I can't forget it. She said, you know, I look at every year, cars try to reinvent themselves. You have 1920 version, 1950 version, she said it's 1996, 97. Said, you have a 1990 version, you have a 1980, and people are cheap versions of even clothes. Sometimes they go back to the old model. And she said, look at how things are just changing. They'll go back again, then they'll stay here, and they say, okay, this is not the kind of belt people wear today. It's not the kind of shoe they wear today. She said, the kind of cars, the kind of houses. I remember a house like that, at Maryland. That house, every time we are passing that house, I'll be looking at that house and dreaming that I'll enter it. Not live there, just enter once. I was looking at it. You know, a few years ago, I looked at the same house and I laughed. I mean, this is the house that, there was another person's house like that, that my dad just took us there to visit. And by myself, I ensured I slept there. I found a way of doing it. You know, I saw the same house recently. I said, is this why I was caned? She understand? So she said, things will come. I said, but you know, sir. She said, we have a never changing word. It's only God's word that has never been changed. Same truth. Thousands and thousands. No 1990 version. No 2005 version. So you and I will have to anchor our values on eternal truths. Anchor it. Watch the things you expose your mind to. Draw a lesson from David. Even though Saul, who was his predecessor, was a vile man, almost call him a profane man. But David at each moment gave him regard and respect. And in 2 Samuel chapter 1, when obviously Saul and Jonathan had been murdered or killed, that was still at war, a guy came and he said the story. He said, I just came to tell you what happened at the war front. Which means, he said, what happened? He said, the king fell on the sword, so his son Jonathan. He said, he felt he was just giving gist. He said, come. It's you that you know how to say it. So he brought him. And he said, tell it not in Gath. Declare it not on the street of Ascalon, that how are the mighty fallen? Lest the Philistines now begin to make a mockery of us. Very vital truths. It's not everything that is meant for you to see. Even when you now get to see it by coincidence, accidents, or whatever, it's not everything meant for you to think about or say. You have to learn those things. There's something you don't avoid. It's not my business. I told somebody a question. Somebody recently, I think a few days, I think it was on Monday or Sunday. I said, remove the gist you always have about people. I said, there's nothing you talk to me about. I said, remove, did you see this one? Did you see that one? I said, remove it. I said, remove the things you, and it's somebody that I should naturally relate with. I mean, because I've known him for years. You know, we don't necessarily believe alike. I said, remove it. I said, there's nothing that you say. You don't share God's word with me. You don't tell me what God is leading you to do. It's this and that. I said, no. Say it not in God. Declare it not in the city of Ascalon. The guy just, David just wasted him. That your mouth took it. So we have to, there are things that The media can permit, but God's word does not. Watch the licentiousness in the media. People are expressing themselves. There's nothing in God's word that says you say your mind. We are told to renew it. Romans 12:2. Is that not so? We're not told to say our mind. We are told to renew our minds. We are told to be slow to speak. James 1:19, right? Ephesians 4:27. Give no place to the devil. 26. He says, do not be provoked to anger, do not sin. Let your speech be seasoned. So we don't say our mind. We renew our mind and watch what we say. But you know, there's, as you open the media and you watch, see, you just see people expressing themselves. They just talk. You put a lid on what you see. And the way you will do it, put a lid on what you see. It's not bondage. It's not stupidity for you not to know everything happening around you. Know the ones that edify. The ones that contribute to your spiritual development. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Paul says, rejoice again. I say unto you, rejoice in the Lord. He said, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He says, be careful for nothing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, verse 7, that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure. He says, is there any virtue? Is there any praise? Whatever things are good, think on these things. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart, let them not depart from your eyes, for they are light to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 22, verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You have to watch what comes to your heart. Proverbs 25:25, it says, as a city is without walls, so is a man who has no control over his heart. Control what you read. There are people I unfriended on Facebook. The guy said, Pastor, why did you unfriend me? I said, no, I didn't unfriend you like that. No. I said, but you can have access to me. He said, yes. Because of the things you put out, I don't want to be reading it. Say, but it's not that. I'm not saying you should not put it out, though, but I don't want to read them. There was a guy like that. Is I writing consistently about Kenneth Hagin? I called him. I said, look, man of God, you know, I'm not asking you to believe what I believe, but if we are going to sustain this relationship, right, that is, see ourselves in any level, what you are writing has to change. I said, no. I said, no problem. I said, I won't just unfriend you. I will block you. So whoever uses your name will not have access to my heart. Very simple. It's not a sin. It's not like I'm not being controlled by anybody. At least, is the man even alive to control me? I'm just controlling what I see. You have to control what you see. You have to control what you hear. We don't say our mind, neither do we allow everything in our mind. So as believers, we watch what we see. Also, don't be friends with Christians that discuss people's weaknesses and they peddle gist about others. No. I've told you before, there's a vast difference between doctrinal judgment and judging people's character. There are two different things. Right, so two different things. 1 Peter 4:18, for love, for it, love covers a multitude of sins. But love does not cover doctrinal error. Galatians 6:1. Is there any overtaken by fault? Let them that are spiritual restore. But when it comes to people's faults, except when they are done in rebellion and openly, it's not the focus of a believer. So you as a Christian, put a lid on what comes to your heart. Don't let them know you for, hey, tell me what's going on around generally. That's your work. No, guard your heart. You have enough to work with. Enough. Watch what you read and watch what you see. Don't think it's bondage. Your mouth can preserve your life. Watch what you say. There are some teachings you have heard. Be angry. You heard it and immediately you started practicing it. But because you don't hear it every day, another 2 weeks, you are back to your old man. When you decide to discover you are now getting furious and angry, go and get that teaching again. And listen to it again. There are some things you should hear often. There are some materials I read every 3 months. Why? Because of the impact they had in my life in the earlier days. So I read every 3 months. So that I don't forget the things that are there. If you have discovered, for example, there's a teaching that helped you deal with a habit, a bad habit, or corrected, you know, a wrong conduct in your life, don't listen to it and dump it. Keep a schedule of hearing it again and again and again and again. That's just pure spiritual common sense. What is it that you say? How come Peter's denial of Jesus was not used by any of the apostles as a reference point? In fact, if anything, he became their leader. John 21, verse 15, 16, 17, 18. He was to feed the lambs, feed the sheep. The same with Peter. I thought he was one that denied Jesus 3 times. How come Judas's betrayal of Jesus did not become a sermon? How come the doubting of Thomas, John 20, 28, 29, did not become a sermon? Because it's not everything that you are supposed to repeat and say. You just watch it. God's word has never changed. Psalm 131. I know this year's workers' convention will be out shortly. But before you listen to this year's convention, I will give you an instruction. Go back to last year's one. Hear it again. Hear that last year again. Built to last, the practice of Christianity, contending for the supernatural, and very vitally protecting the vessel. Listen again, then listen to this one. You understand the flow of things. Psalm 131 verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. That is, I don't become proud. You will discover that some of us, you know, at earlier stages, you know, we're very simple. You can greet somebody 3 times in a minute. Good morning, sir. Some of you can greet. I'll see some people 4 times in church, in the same building. I'll say that, morning, sir. I'll see them again at the other side. Morning, sir. I wonder, is it a vision? I get to the car park. Marisa. They can greet. I say, well, maybe that is the grace of God upon their lives. I say, okay, say, good morning, sir. But then, you know, the same people, after a while, 1, 2, 3 years in church, they've now seen everybody. They now see everybody. They've interacted with people. They probably have done business with some of their pastors or leaders. They've gone to their houses. They've gone to their homes. They've lived, stayed. Sometimes even the pastor may have slept over in their house. They've heard the pastor snore. With all the glory. They've come. So after just become light and loose, and then becomes, you know, what's the big deal about this person? He says, I'm not haughty or lofty. This is a king. How can a king say this? Who else should say I am here? The king in Israel was an absolute ruler. Say, I'm not haughty, I'm not lofty, neither do I exercise myself, he said, in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. That is, I remain innocent. I remain like a child. I will not exercise myself in matters too high for me. NASB says, I will not exercise myself in matters too difficult. Good News says, in subjects beyond me. NET says, in matters beyond me. Jubilee Bible, matters way above or beyond me. Another pastor says that I will not exercise myself in matters that do not pertain to me. It's just wisdom. What's your own? What is your own? They are discussing a pastor in another church. Is it your church? It's not your business. You see, Nigerians can be, so just like Nigerians can be very funny. You see Nigerians glued to the U.S. policy, glued to somebody said, did you just hear what happened? I said, what happened? He said, the wife of the Prince of England gave birth. He was my own with that. Okay, I said, to what intent is this information? Then you ask the person, who is the governor of your state? He will say Barnabas. Do you understand? So, really, are you really intelligent? You know, in matters that doesn't concern you. Even in your local church, you are in a prayer and you are paying attention to something happening in Ibadan. It shows that you are not busy. Satan has employed you. What is even within the Ekpe? What's your own? What has the music teams engaged with? You are in the protocol or you are in secure. What are that? What they do there? What is, how is it your concern? Matters that doesn't concern you. Have you taken care of your own spiritual life? Have you checked your own life? You are reading about somebody's weakness when you have your own. What's your own? Busybody. And the longer people remain in a church, is that they become very effective or they become busybodies? This is not your choice. That's why if you want to disqualify yourself in this community, maybe you left one church and came here by the virtue of defection or a cross party or you are moving around and then you came here and you sat down. I met someone like that. They came, two of them. They came to see me after, sir, you see, so, so and so and so. They thought by saying that the pastor from where they are coming from used to speak evil of me, that will make me. I said, are you here now? They said, yes. Let's talk about here. He said, I'm just, you know what? It's a long story. I said, keep it short. Okay, I don't know the person. So what is my, it doesn't matter. He said, you are here now. I said, are you really here? He said, yes, sir. If I've been you've been a blessing. I've been on living enough. You're not a person on living world media. Go and do membership class, okay? I say, in fact, sir, at the Water Jazz Conference, is there no fool? I'm not even sure whether the membership classes. You don't see, the one that pertains to you,
you are not doing. Other people's businesses. What they are doing, what you wear. Keep your... See, a Christian ought to be a Christian in the media. The guy was sharing with me something he saw about a preacher. He said, sir, there's this video. And I said, come here. How old are you? He told me his age. I said, when did you get born again? He told me. I said, this person you are talking about, you may not believe with him, or you may not even agree with everything he says. But did you observe something? Whatever he's doing, he has done it long enough. You, the way you are starting, there's no hope. We sent you to Oyo, you go to Oyo, and you're already doing party? You have not even started. A guy is 2 years in the ministry. You are posting your pictures of prayer. Don't you know you are going to pray for the rest of your life? You are going to pray for the rest of your life. There was one guy like that I corrected. I said, you just put on social media. Today we are doing 20 hours of prayer. Tomorrow we are... Now he has stopped. He has left ministry. So I told him, are you still doing 20 hours of prayer? When last did you pray 1 hour? Because you were living for show. For show. You know people that do live for show, they live in a lie. Matters too high. There are things, you know, what about facing your flock? How does that help you? Imagine if you face your flock. You're not facing Pastor Kumuyi's flock, Kenneth Copeland's flock. You're not facing Pastor Adeboye's flock, Pastor Chris's flock. You're not facing Bishop Oyedepo's flock. You are facing your own. Imagine if you spent more time on that one person than on somebody who has hundreds of thousands under him. You know, you'll be more effective. Face your flock. Face the gospel. Face your own spiritual life. Face your life. Nobody will be rewarded for somebody else's work. Your reward is in your own labor. So face your work. Each man will be rewarded according to his labor. 1 Corinthians 3:8. 1 Corinthians 3:14. That's what you're rewarded for. Not somebody else's work. Face your work. Mind your business. Husband and wife is not a license to discuss issues outside your home. This is not your family matter. This is I tell couples a lot, it's an abuse of privilege. Because the truth is, I saw somebody, some people said, there's no office called wife of a pastor. He said, all you do is assist your husband in your home. That's what you do. No abuse privilege. More so friendship. More so cousins, siblings. There's a limit to the things you talk about. It's called ethics, decency. How can a doctor be discussing his patient with his wife? Or a lawyer? It's unethical. The person did not employ your wife. Those who submit to me as pastor, they are not automatically submitted to my wife. I said, there's an abuse of privilege. And do that in your relationships. That's not our issue. That's not our business. Don't exercise yourself in matters too high for you. Don't. These days of WhatsApp, people just send stupid things to your phone. You say, no, this is not what I want to read. Don't put it here again. I want to read God's word. or very useful information about my career. Very useful information. Maybe health tips. Information about the fact that Chelsea cannot buy players for the next 10 years. Something like that. Very defined positive news. I only left you for a while. It's a long haul. Don't worry. It's a temporary setback. God is faithful. Positive things. Don't put your mind in unnecessary. You're busy. Check the social media era, like I said. Control yourself. Be wary of those who have nothing to contribute to your life but worldly things. That's all they have. Worldly things. Matters that are not concerning you. Simple. It's not your business. Watch someone like Saul. Again, a reference to pride. Pride only occurs when you focus on yourself. Pride is birthed from the flesh, self. Pride is to please yourself emotionally, psychologically, materially, and so on and so forth. And so you see a man like Saul, that he practically didn't want to be king. He really felt like me. In fact, the story there was, he saw now among the prophets. He now grew. He grew, he had money, he had influence, he had fame. He now became lofty. He was so lofty that Samuel could not directly tell him the will of God. It got to a point before Samuel 16. Samuel said, if Saul hears this, he will kill me. Imagine the person who anointed him. He had become very big in his own eyes. He couldn't be controlled. You couldn't talk to him again. Watch pride. Why do we become proud? Our position, our age, our fame, our wealth. Come proud. You used to be in the ocean department, you welcome people to service. They promoted you at the office, you are now the MD of an oil company. That is where we will know your Christian life. I told you many times, anybody can be humble when he has nothing. Because life has humbled you already. It's when you start having things. From the littlest things. You have an apartment of yourself. You have a car to yourself. You have a job of yourself. Simple things like that will expose your character. People have said money is not evil. It only exposes the evil in people's lives. It's true. Now, you're, as you grow, you know, there's some things you think you cannot do again because you are old. You know some of those things. Yeah, no, I can't, some people have died out of pride. They were too old to allow a young man lay hands on them and they were healed. Pride. My age, my status, my position. Used to practically, come to service very early, sit in front, take notes. When you were in university days, now you're a pastor, you're a leader, you now come in late, you just don't take notes again because you now preach and teach. Pride. Pride goes before a big fall. Pride. As a younger Christian, when you lift your hands and worship God, it doesn't take you 2 seconds. You're already on your knees, kneeling down. But now, because you're a big man of God, pride. Watch pride. In those days when your pastor will talk to you, and he'll say this, I told you before. Your pastor will say, I'm disappointed in you. And you feel like, yay. You feel like you offended the host of heaven. But after a while, I'm looking at you also in your heart. Ah, well, I'm the of God in Christ Jesus. It's pride. It's pride. The way you grow is the way you grow. It's pride. It's pride. You listen to a teaching, bless your heart. You listen to it again, you can even afford to do something else with it. Pride. Pride. While you're listening to it, you just pride, pride. Status. Wealth. Age. As you grow older, be more tender. David said, I have seen myself as a child, a king. Come more tender. Because there's a propensity to become proud, lofty, haughty. You watch it. Don't forget, all he gave us is going to come and ask you. I was here yesterday morning. Pride. Look at the Numbers narrative. Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron. Miriam, who was recognized, she saw by faith who Moses was and the parents. She was involved in how Moses was preserved. When Moses took them through the sea, she sang Numbers 15. She sang out, prophesied, was a leader. Aaron was said, he will be like God to you, like George. You will be a prophet unto him. Ah! In Numbers 12, they were now becoming popular. People were quoting and referencing them. And Miriam said to Aaron, ah, Moses just got a wife, an Ethiopian. In their opinion, they now had a reason to talk back at him. Because they were simply trying to take advantage of what they thought was an error. It's only evil people that do that. With due respect to both of them. You waited for the person to make a mistake. Assumed mistake. Don't forget. And then you say, I always knew. Is he the only one God can use? Is he the only one? See? So can't we also be used of God? Pride. 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 As though they chose themselves in Exodus. They did it. Pride. Don't allow anything to get to your head. Even your age. And so, I know my age. And so, are you ancient of this? And you will see people older than you, who can give back to you, and they are humble. That's a lesson. People richer than you, more intelligent, more exposed. And they are humble. So, pride is actually useless. You know why? Because whatever you are proud over is not something that will last. So, watch the things that want to keep you lofty. Keep you pompous. Don't allow how the world sees you to affect how you see yourself. The world will celebrate your wealth. They will celebrate your age. Your accomplishments. The world will celebrate they will celebrate natural exploits for you. Never let anyone be powerful enough to make you proud. It's your choice. It's your choice not to be proud. And it's not about saying yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. You can say yes sir. You can be standing up like this. I'm sorry, you can be prostrating like this, and in your heart, you are standing giddy bar. And I tell you oftentimes, whatever is in your heart, over time to come out. It's a matter of time. So stop it. Don't just be kneeling down and bowing down. That's not sufficient. Let the kneeling down start in your heart. Let the bowing down start in your heart. There are people you call sir when they are there, and you call them their first name when you are alone. You are a hypocrite. You are proud. So, don't allow anything, not even God using you for mighty things. Look at something that the apostles did. On two occasions, it is worth thinking about. In the Acts 3 experience, when they got that crippled guy to walk, and they kept them, Peter said, no, don't think, Acts 3:12, it is by our properness or holiness that we have made this man walk. In Acts 14, verse 9 and 10, when that crippled man Lystra walked, Paul and Barnabas, and they quickly came, you are Hermes, you are this. And then he said, they removed their clothes and toys. We are men of like passions, just like you. So God using you, be very careful too. Don't allow it get into your head at all. I tell many preachers, you are not indispensable. You can use somebody else apart from you. You don't have God in your pocket. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't. I tell people in this ministry, even me, I'm not indispensable. There are people that say, oh, they will leave something, they won't do it. Somebody else from somewhere will just come and handle it. There are churches today that are pastored by some of our pastors, somebody else started it. And when the person left, someone else from nowhere, just came into the picture. And has been pastoring it. The person should not be wise. If you knew how you started it, how you got involved, you should be wise to know God can use anybody. That's why you should never be proud. He can use anybody. I mean anybody. Anybody. So, there's nothing to be proud about. You walk away from something and say, oh, let me see what will happen. When I stop doing this one, you will be shocked. Somebody else will do it. I love to see lessons in life. Something happened in my faculty when I was in university. I know I've said this story many times. A friend of mine, a classmate of mine, was talking to a lady. And so, she just insulted him. And then took his sandal and threw it away. And then he said something that amazed me. I was sitting there. He said, you will see. Somebody far better than you will bring that shoe. Well, so he was prophesying. Was it? The most brilliant person in the class was coming. I said, what's your shoe doing here? She said, just let me bring it. Ah. And she brought it, was cleaned and brought it like this. She said, I told you, somebody better than you. For me, it was a lesson. It was a lesson. If you think you are someone, you will be brought down as nobody. It's a fact, oh. Never let anything get to your head. You are the one leading worship every service. Pastor Wayne says now, I want Austin to lead it. You are now feeling that. Why can't I? Never have an entitlement spirit. It's a privilege. Why am I not the one leading it? Why am I not the one? Why should you be the one? Were you not chosen? I mean, chosen in Christ, no, not him. Tell me, why are you? What is the entitlement culture? I've seen some of you just become pompous. So, they didn't allow me. Are you joking? What are you smoking? I told someone, how old are you? They didn't allow you sing. Is that no? You see, 200 people, they now picked you. You think you came with octopus head? Is that no? I'm standing here today as your pastor. It's not a right. It's a no. Never have an entitlement culture. They stopped you from being the one to teach. Then you stop coming for the service. You stop taking notes. You stop doing other things. Because you have an entitlement culture. I should be the one. Satan has filled your heart, sir. Satan has taken over man. Pride. That's why your leaders. I said, look at you. Ah, see you. I said, you are all first among equals. That's what you are. Every pastor here, I can tell you the story. Can you remember this and this? Can you remember? Don't forget though. So there's no entitlement. If they call you, Father, thank you. If you don't call you, Father, I thank you. Don't let anything get to your heart. Pride. People are now sending you texts. Ah, Brother Bamidele, what you taught yesterday, even Paul did not teach it. It's human beings that will destroy you. Someone said, the Paul of our generation. That's me. I said, my name is Chris. You know, people can, you know, they can. Every time I'm doing bad day, some people just get angry. It's okay. In fact, there was somebody who called me on my birthday 2 years ago. Say, happy birthday, Pastor. Thank God for your life. Just want to say something to you that really spilled on my heart this morning. I said, what is it? Let's just watch, you know, these things, how people see us. Let's just, really spilled on my heart. On my birthday. Apparently, I'm a man of God. People are just having fun. Don't let it get to your heart. They will sing for you in Chinese, in Brazil. It's just fun. It's just, oh, Pastor, I want to just tell you, you are the man of God. You are the God of man. Just let them have their day. Don't let it get into your head. As a man of God, even me, it hasn't entered my ear. Why are you allowing it get to you? The person that said, Pastor, you are God's missile. You are his atomic bomb. Tomorrow he can bomb you. See, experience is more than cheese, though. There's some things I know it like this. My eyes have seen it. My ears have heard it. My hands have handled it. I'm gonna leave that matter. Experience will tell you to have enough sense. People can switch in 24 hours. You think it's a demon. So don't let it get into your head. My father. I remember my brother. I just came back 1990, I think it was 5. He just said to me, Baba me, 2 years older than me. As a teenager, I was pastoring people who were in their 40s and 50s. And they will say, Baba. I was called Baba many years ago. So is it now that Baba will now be doing my Oju? No. In fact, there was one sister. She came to me in my house. Yeah. Bro, I just think that the level of closeness that we should have cannot happen if I keep calling you brother or pastor. Can I call you your first name? I said, you choose to call me bro. You can call me Bru. It's your choice. Light-skinned damsel like that. I said, no problem. The very next week, somebody now came to visit me. A far older person. came in those days, C-class, Mercedes-Benz, was very few in Nigeria. She brought it to her house. In fact, my mom saw the lady and said, ah, hey, Carol, my mom, hey, Carol, this sister knelt down. Then the person who came now knelt down for me. She now knelt down. Papa. That's what he used to call me there. Papa. I said, get up. So, she had knelt down for the person who knelt down for me. She's not in the fix. So, those things will get to your head. They are celebrating you. Ah, my God. My God. Like I said, ba-ba-ba-ba. Say, ah, sir, you are my father. In fact, I gave one guy a suit in Lautech, 1995. He said, I'm going to wear this suit for 1 year because I know the grace upon it. 1 year! It was the next month that was they abusing me. It wasn't the next year, the next month! I don't even know the grace of God! So I learned some things early. So why would their words make you proud? You will make money, you will lose it. You will be employed, sometimes you will be laid off. It's the truth of life. Nothing is permanent but Christ Jesus. So why should anything make you proud? What is making you uplift? And then you think, I remember when my dad used to be the area manager of a bank. And I would go to the bank to go and see him. And I would just walk in, you know, effortlessly. I would just walk in effortlessly. I would just come in, ga. Years later, I went to that bank to withdraw. They didn't allow me to enter. Such is life. A Pharaoh that does not even know Israel is there. Not even Joseph. So there's no reason to be proud. Remain small in your eyes. Let me tell you something. Pride will affect even the way you pray. You start praying like a man of God. You are actually acting out in prayer. Oh yeah. It's happening. Yes, Lord. The people doing you are living in you. When did you get to the point where you serve your children? Oh yeah. And I do, because they are calling you man of God, teacher of teachers, pastor of pastors, Lord of lords, King of kings, Lord of the tribe of Ijebu. Stupid. It was a brain. Your Lord was hailed in the morning, crucified in the evening. Your Lord. Isn't that amazing? Paul and Barnabas were hailed. Ah, the gods have come now in human form. They tore their clothes and they now stoned them. The same people that brought worship stoned them. And it's because the fellowship of his sufferings. What happened to Jesus happened to Paul and Barnabas. Be wise enough not to allow anything exalt you above who you are. Remain humble. Remain simple. I'm not talking about deceitful simplicity. Ah, bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. And behind is something else you are doing. Let it start from your heart. From your heart. From your heart. Some of those people who work with me observe that. Almost, if I let me do something yesterday. As I was coming here, he just went to the restroom to open the restroom for me because they say every time he wants to, I'll tell you why I do it. It's not because I was pressed to. The first time I was asked to preach, I went to the toilet about 6 times. That sense, I still have it till now. I just feel like, I'm going to preach again. What am I going to say? Just go to the restroom. I do it. If you work with me, you know. I do it all the time. I still did it today. I just said, I won't do it in church. So I'm going now. When is the meeting again? 5:20. Okay, let me quickly go out. Something I did how many years ago? Remain small in your own eyes. You can never be a master over God's word. God's word is the master over your life. Don't allow anything enter your head. You are now greeting differently. You don't know how to prostrate again. You don't know how to bow. You are not standing tall. Because you are a man of God. So that people will not think that you are something. No, be wise. Be wise. People saw the outgoing Prime Minister of England, Theresa May. Every time she sees older people, she will curtsy. Someone said, is she a Nigerian woman? No, it's just respect. If I saw someone on social media, I said, what's wrong with this one? What's wrong with this one? And I look at the person's handle. You see some rats. 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 Who's this one? This is one of the most powerful human beings in the world. You should emulate good things. Good things. There's a maze Christian. The Lako Oshibaju is a Christian from one of the most famous families in Nigeria. She's born to the Awolowo family, the granddaughter of Babafemi Awolowo. One of the greatest human beings that ever passed through this country. And married to the vice president. She's a lawyer of many years. Brilliant woman. Married to the vice president. And she still kneels down. Some say, it's nonsense. Some say, what does that mean? Is that what will put food on our table? Is everything food? Why is your life all about table food, table food? Are you a dog? Courtesy. Just, you see things like that, you think, You know, you are married to nobody. Nobody is married to you. You are a nobody. In fact, nobody is an understatement. And you are prouding. You are prouding, prouded. You are proudies. All useless. Watch those things. Watch it. I want you to go and get the book of honor. In the month of June, read 2 books. Honor and Because I Prayed. Instruction. Read those 2 books. Honor and Because I Prayed. Pray over it. Let nothing play for my clothes. Be your boast. But the cross of Christ. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus my Lord, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. God forbid that I glory. This is a man of repute. A man of not small means. Said, but God forbid that I glory outside the cross of Christ. In Romans 5:2 says we glory in hope. Romans 5:3, we glory in tribulations. Romans 5:11, we glory in God. 1 Corinthians 1:31, let him that glory, glory in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:12, don't glory in appearances. 2 Corinthians 5:17, glory in the Lord. Glory in tribulations. Well, I have a car. I just bought a car. I just bought a jet. I just bought a house. Paul says, God forbid. And I boast outside the cross. So leave this convention, hear these words. Be faithful with the message. Be faithful with the ministry. Be faithful with the power of the Spirit. Be faithful with the flock. And finally, be faithful to the end. Till the next convention, keep your heart tender. Keep these words. Keep it fresh. Ensure that every instruction, every teaching, from Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, Tuesday night, and this Wednesday morning, you don't just hear them. And it's just the only thing we know is that you were there when it was taught. Somebody said this to me. He said, Pastor, in those days we used to have a Holy Ghost street. We'll go to Ile Obi, Nabe Okuta, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, till 2008. We'll have the meeting sometimes 4 or 5 times a year. We'll just go 3 days, fast, pray. He said, you said many things then that many of us never knew the import in later years. He said, but now we go back and think. Very straightforward instructions. Very clear cut. He said, many people took heed to it. You'll have still been fervent in the Lord today. Very true. You see, the things that build your life, our lives, are in those little details. Pray every day. Watch your heart. Watch what you see. Watch what you watch. People who know Greek and Hebrew, exegesis, context, if they don't take it to things like this, they eventually fall. You see, take those things to heart. Be humble. Don't be proud. Watch your relationships. Watch your desires. Don't slip into immorality. It's usually grabbed out and becomes something you cannot control. Watch your prayer life. Watch your appetite. Simple instructions. Stop taking it to them. And you discover that all will be well. Be faithful with the ministry, with the message, with the flock. Be faithful with the power of the Spirit. And be faithful to the end. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet, everybody. Let's just bless the Lord and thank Him for a wonderful time we have had in this convention. Commit the things you have heard to God's word, to God's Spirit.